to listen to the Left Traffic Podcast.
What is up, Left Traffic Nation? Welcome, episode 74 of the Left Traffic Podcast. I am your host, the Professor Brandon Crowd. Hope all of you dads out there had an awesome Father's Day. Hope you guys had a great weekend. Cup guys had their first off week since April 1st outside of All-Star Weekend. And I got to tell you, I thoroughly enjoyed the Truck and Xfinity Series getting a highlight on a short track for this weekend. So I am excited to get into that. I got a guest sitting here in the NASCAR Man Cave with me. You've heard me talk about him every once in a while. Mr. Eric Zalen is in the house. Sir, what's up?
What's up?
All right, so he is chilling down here with me, and he doesn't even know what I'm about to tell him. But since he's here, and I haven't shared a story in a while, I thought I'd do some a quick story time and give a old school Eric Zalen Brandon Crowd story from back in the day. So Zalen and I used to work for some very, very close friends of the family catering company when we were middle school, high school, and all that kind of stuff. And the shenanigans that we would get into were quite humorous at points in time. And the guy we work for, you know, I'm Italian, he's Italian, you know, everyone's an uncle, right? So Uncle Sam, picture, if you will, 50-year-old, 300-pound, old school, typical Italian guy, right? He wasn't shy with the language, and our nicknames were DH1 and DH2 for Head 1 and Head 2. Well, I want to say we were probably, I don't know, what do you say, about 16 or 17. They were moving halls, and he gave us a very simple task to do, and that was move a table from one hall to the other hall. Zalen's laughing over here, so I'm laughing too. So Zalen had his pickup truck, and I don't know why. So we were supposed to move this stainless steel table that probably weighed a good 100 pounds, if not more. And so we pick it up, and we slide it into the back of the truck, and we're getting ready to drive off with it. Now, I have no idea why we didn't think to push the lift gate up and let the table rest on the lift gate, and we wouldn't have had any issues. But, you know, I guess as 16, 17-year-olds go, we weren't thinking that advanced yet. So we're driving down a four-lane each-way highway, and we come to a red light, and we stop. And we didn't bungee this thing down with nothing. We literally just put a stainless steel table upside down in the back of a pickup truck in the middle of November. And I just remember Zalen hitting the gas and me looking out the back window and the steel table sliding off the bed of the truck and 100-plus-pound stainless steel table bouncing like four or five times on the expressway. So we're like, oh, shit, we got a frickin', you know, we hop out of the car. And Zalen forgets to put the car in park. And it's now slowly cruising down Woodward as we're running to the back. Hey, the car is still going. So he runs, throws it in park, probably a good 10, 15 feet away from where it initially was. And at this point, there's traffic now coming behind us. And we get out. We throw this table back in there. We get it to the hall. We bring it in. We set it up. And we don't say anything. Wasn't until the next day when good old Uncle Sam decided to curse us out, asking why there were so many scratches all over the effing table and all this kind of stuff. And so that was one of my favorite Zalen stories and one of the more fun times we had back in the day. There are plenty more, including a steamer in which we let the electrical outlet drag about 20 miles on the back of the road. And I kept wondering why I was seeing sparks flying up behind the truck. I thought the exhaust was hanging out. No, it was the electrical cord that was just bouncing around the expressway for a good 20, 30 miles. And needless to say, we weren't able to use that steamer anymore. All right. enough of the story time. I got another big show lined up for you guys. Dustin Albino from Front Stretch. I'm sure you guys are very familiar with that Twitter handle. We'll be on here in just a couple minutes. We're going to talk about what he's got going on. We're going to talk about some racing from Iowa this past weekend. And spoiler alert, we are going to talk some wrestling because he's a wrestling fan just like I am. As always, Aaron will be on here a little bit later with his weekly weather report, your lucky dog, lap down picks, and whatever else we can come up with. All right, let's get right into it, folks. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, joining me on the line, you may have read a piece or two from him, and you might have even heard him on their podcast at the Front Stretch, making his Lap Traffic debut. Welcome, Dustin Albino. Sir, how are you this evening?
Hey, man, I'm good. Thanks for having me on. How are you?
I am great. Thank you for taking some time to come on the show. Appreciate it. Love to build some new relationships out there with those across the social media interweb.
Yeah, of course. I think relationships, especially in a small knit community, like we're both on smaller websites or podcasts or whatnot. So I think it comes full circle.
Absolutely. So tell everyone a little bit about yourself, where you're from, how you got into working with Front Stretch and getting into NASCAR, all that good stuff.
Sure. So like you said, my name is Dustin Albino. Recently, I just graduated from Ithaca College. I got my journalism degree. I got with Front Stretch. This is my third year at the site. It's my fourth full year in NASCAR like journalism. That was a cool opportunity to begin with because I followed this kid named Joseph Volkan. You may have heard of him. Your readers or your listeners may have heard of him.
Yep.
And he went to the races. I think he started covering in 2014. I was so jealous because I've loved NASCAR my whole life, been a big fan growing up. And so I don't know how I found him originally. It might have just been like searching Pocono on Instagram or something. But I'd comment on his stuff. And ironically enough, at the end of the 14 season, it was I think going into the Phoenix race. He put a message out on social media on Twitter and offered a job. And so I did a couple writing samples, and then soon after I was hired for Speedway Digest in 2015. Spent a year there and spent a half year with Front Stretch. 2016 I came on with Front Stretch full time, and since then just kind of taken off. And it's so rewarding, like we were talking on off air. So yeah, it's good opportunities to do the Front Stretch podcast every week. That's kind of building. I'm in charge of all the Xfinity stuff. I'm the beat writer for that. So
very cool.
A lot of good times.
Awesome. So your podcast, talk a little bit about that. You know, what's your format like for that? Is it, do you set the race up? Do you cover post race? What's that entail?
Yeah, so we usually record either Tuesday or Wednesday night. In the past 2 or 3 months or so, we've had drivers on, such as Corey LaJoie, Noah Gragson, last week Cole Custer, Matt DiBenedetto, Brendan Gaughan after Talladega. And yeah, since it's a Tuesday or Wednesday night, it's reviewing the weekend of racing before, kind of what we're going to be doing today. I think it's I could be wrong about this, but I think it's the only podcasting in NASCAR that has that reviews the race with a driver. So I think that's pretty cool.
That's awesome. Very cool. All right. So I didn't even piece this together until after we had talked, because it was right after the Michigan race that we got hooked up and were talking about maybe you coming on the show. I didn't realize we were at the track. So tell everyone about your experience at MIS. They've all heard my take on it, my home track, of course. But what do you think of MIS?
Yeah, everyone's got to love their home track. I've been going to Watkins Glen my whole life.
Right?
So. And they treat me great, too, just like MIS treats you. But, yeah, it's the 50th anniversary of Michigan International Speedway this year, and that was my first time at the track, at the venue. So, overall, a great experience. I always like going to new track.
Sure.
I've been to 10 of them now on the Cup circuit, covering 30 weekends, but also going to the fan as a fan since I was 3 years old.
Sure.
So, been to a lot of the races, but yeah, Michigan is unique. Like we were mentioning, I got to go to the Michigan Stadium to see that, where the Michigan Wolverines play.
Go Blue!
I'm a big Michigan fan.
Excellent. Well, you're always welcome back on the show now. I mean, that just goes without saying.
I bleed orange. I bleed Syracuse orange.
All right, well, hey.
Their football team's not great, though we beat Clemson last year.
MIS, it's a beautiful facility. They do a great job out there taking care of the surrounding area and all that great stuff. So, yeah, I was glad you were able to get out there. Will you be there in August?
Not sure yet. Okay. The weather wasn't the best, I'll be
honest.
Oh,
God. Well, that was probably the worst I had seen it at MIS. I mean, typically in August, you might get like one of those pop-up 20-minute storms, and you'll lose the track, but you don't have to worry about it raining again. You know, this was just brutal. Oh, the day
there
just...
so much rain.
Yes.
I think the last time I saw that much rain at a racetrack, probably jinxing now, but it was 2 years ago at Pocono with the fog.
Yes.
Chris Buescher won, yeah.
Yep, I remember that. All right, so we're going to get into racing here in a little bit, but before we do, Dustin, you and I are big wrestling fans, so any chance I get to talk wrestling, I'm going to do it. So if you're listening to the show and you don't want to hear wrestling, probably fast forward about 10, 15 minutes. But if you want to hear some wrestling talk, a little spice it up, we don't have a cup race to talk about. So I figured we talk a little wrestling, if that's cool with you.
Sounds great with me. I love talking wrestling just like you.
All right. So this past weekend, the Money in the Bank pay-per-view. What'd you think of the card, the build up to it, the, all that good stuff?
So the overall pay-per-view I thought was really good. I thought it's a big five now, they're labeling it as, and all the pay-per-views are co-branded now. But the build up, it depended on the storyline. Like the Bobby Lashley, Sami Zayn was awful.
Yes.
Atrocious.
See,
like, I was in Albany for the Bobby Sisters segment, and that sucked.
With the network, which I love the network, the mere fact that for $10 a month I can watch all 12 pay-per-views, let alone the original content, I mean, that's fantastic. Because I wouldn't buy all 12 pay-per-views before the network. I'd get the big ones.
Right.
You know, so for $10 a month, that's the best $10 of the month I spend, in my opinion. You know?
Yes.
But, you know, so they want to draw out these pay-per-views and make them 4 hours long, and they just don't give enough time on Raw and SmackDown to build these feuds up that they just throw last minute on the card to fill up a pay-per-view.
Especially Raw, because Raw's so long, and man, this past, because there's 6 weeks in between, was it Backlash?
Yes.
Backlash and the Bank?
Yep.
It just seemed like forever. And some of these Raws were just not good shows. SmackDown's been good since the Superstar Shakeup, I think. But they also got a stacked roster now.
Yes.
But, the Raws leading up to this was just awful. But the Money in the Bank, like the Elias and Seth Rollins, their feud or their feud, their storyline kind of got going about 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
But I thought it was one of the better matches on the card. I'm a big fan.
I wasn't invested into the storyline, but once that match got going, I'm like, all right, this is going to be good to watch. So at that point, the storyline didn't make that big of a difference to me. I was really curious with the fact, did you hear the news today that Big Cass officially done with WWE? That was surprising. Well, I guess not surprising, but I guess the fact that they just gave him a pay-per-view match, I was a little surprised to see that.
Yeah, I did see that, and I wonder if he's kind of upset with like the creative they have for him. A lot of wrestlers or superstars get upset with the creative and then just leave.
Yeah,
it kind of sucks. Well, I don't know. I was a big Enzo Amore and Big Cass fan of
sure.
together, but they're both kind of busts on the main roster. So.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. All right, so. I got to ask, I've been to probably every show in Detroit for the last 10 years or so, if not longer. I've never, you know, like you said, going to U of M for a football game is on your bucket list. Going to Madison Square Garden for a wrestling event is on my bucket list. Have you been to MSG for a wrestling show?
So I'm actually about 3.5 hours from the city, but ironically enough, I was in the city the other day. I went to a Yankees game, and I have not been to a show at Madison Square Garden for wrestling. But I also want to go. It would have to be a live event, though, because they don't do any TV out of there. It's too expensive.
Yes. Yeah, no, I'm with you. But some of the live events there are even better, I bet, than a freaking Raw or SmackDown.
Yeah, they got one coming up in, I think, 3 weeks, and it's stacked. They got The Undertaker on the card, Ronda Rousey, Cena.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. So one of the things that I am really getting sick of is the fact that it's shaping up to be Roman Lesnar part 9 here, somewhere down the line here. And I am so excited that Braun Strowman won the Money in the Bank, because you just know what's going to happen with that. And I am pumped for that.
Yeah, I'm so, unlike a lot of people, a lot of the male demographic, I like Roman Reigns. I think he's very entertaining. His promos suck.
Yes.
But But I think he's entertaining, and honestly, I'm sick of Brock Lesnar not being there. So get him out. Like, we don't need him anymore. The roster's stacked.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I was thinking, you remember, I don't know, a couple years ago, Cena did the open challenge for the United States title. Right. I would love to see them do an open challenge for the Money in the Bank briefcase every week. Just put the briefcase on the line and just build Roman up even more of a beast than what he already is and just destroy people each week. Like, yeah. You think you can take this? Come get it. You know, like, I think that would be cool. But
so I think, when do you think Strowman cashes in? Do you think he cashes in at the SummerSlam match?
I don't know. I would have to think if Lesnar's truly going to UFC, you know, for a fight, which obviously that's the talk. You know, Vince doesn't like to lose people to anything, regardless of what it is. I would have to think if he's going to go and fight, then he's going to have Braun come and just destroy Lesnar in about 3 seconds to try to make him look as weak as possible before he goes to UFC. Just because that's the way Vince is, and I love that about him. So that's how I'd see that play out.
But if that, say he cashes in, I don't feel like he's going to cash in like a heel would, though. I think he's going to cash in like, say the next pay-per-view is Extreme Rules, Roman wins that main event or whatever, Strowman's going to say, hey, I want in.
Yeah.
Into the main event. Because I don't think he's going to – Strowman's their biggest baby face right now, yes. Honestly.
Well, to be – you know, and they may even set it up to where he cashes it in advance in terms of saying, hey, I want so-and-so at the next pay-per-view. You know, it may not be that, you know, two-second squash match at the end of a match.
Right, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
But I think they got to give Roman the belt. I mean, they built him up so much going into last year's WrestleMania, well, this year's WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And then they have him lose. And then at the greatest Royal Rumble, whatever it was called, in Saudi Arabia.
Yep.
Technically, he did win.
Yes.
But
yeah.
They got to give him the belt.
Yeah, I thought they were going to give it to him overseas. I really did, because I, you know, the crowd was a little bit more impartial, maybe not knowing the storyline as well, you know, that would have maybe gone over a little bit better. So I was surprised they didn't do that. All right, let's talk the women. They had some awesome matches on the card there. I was curious what they were going to do with Nia Jax, Ronda Rousey. You know, they built up Ronda with, you know, stating right off the bat, I'm here to work for it. I don't want to be handed anything. And then she gets a championship match. So I didn't think they were going to put the belt on her right away. I liked the interference there with Alexa and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I think they needed it out somehow, but I didn't think it was going to be Alexa winning the Money in the Bank. I thought it was going to be Natalya, because she was in that storyline, the storyline that they were trying to tell, at least with Ronda and Nia.
Yep.
Overall, the storyline, again, wasn't the best. But, yeah, I'm kind of surprised that they went with Alexa, but I'm glad they did, because I'm an Alexa Bliss fan.
I think she's incredible. She's got great mic work, love the in-ring performance, and she's not bad to look at either. So.
Right, and she's really young.
Yes,
she's
yes.
You're out for a while.
Yes. And then we had the Ellsworth triumphant return. I don't understand why they let Asuka go undefeated 2.5 years and then go on this losing streak. That kind of defeats that whole purpose of building someone up to be unbeatable there. But, hey, you know, they probably know what they're doing a little better than we do. But
right. Yeah, I'm glad Charlotte beat her at WrestleMania. But since then, neither of them have really done anything.
No.
Asuka lost. Well, her and Becky Lynch, I think it was, lost on the next SmackDown after WrestleMania to the Iconics.
Yes.
And, I mean, who are the Iconics? They haven't done anything yet.
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
And then, yeah, they're pushing Carmella right now, though.
Yes, they are.
It's pretty big.
You mentioned Becky Lynch. I am a big Becky Lynch fan. I think she's phenomenal in the ring.
And I think so are all the fans. Whenever she would climb up the rungs of the ladder the other night, they'd all go crazy,
yeah,
Hoping she'd be the one to pull it down.
Yeah, that would have been really cool with that. I would have been happy with that. All right. I think we've bored Lap Traffic Nation enough here with the wrestling talk. I could talk this all night. I joked with my wife. I'm like, hey, I might start a wrestling podcast. And the look of death that I got from my wife when I even made that mere reference put a big big stop on that one there. But
hey, I say go for it. Why not?
Right? Why not? One more. Hey, all right. So before we get into the racing this weekend, let's wrap up our little interview session here. Any big projects? Anything coming up from a NASCAR perspective that you want to plug, that you've written, or that you know you got coming up?
Yeah, not really that I know of, but each week we're going to have a different driver on the podcast. In the second half of the year, we're looking to get Ryan Blaney and Bubba Wallace on, which would be great.
Awesome.
Should do good listens. And we're trying to get some sponsorship to keep that deal going. So, yeah, I'm loving the opportunities I get to get with Front Stretch. So, you know, it's a good deal.
Excellent. That's fantastic. All right. What do you say we talk some racing this weekend from Iowa?
Hey, man, that was some good racing.
Oh, man. All right. So the trucks, the Xfinity Series regulars got to show off this weekend at Iowa, and show off they did. Before we talk about the individual races, what was your overall take on the racing this weekend?
So I don't know. I love the racing, period. But in regards to Iowa, like, there's always been this conception of should a cup race be at Iowa, and I'm sold. I think they should have a cup race. But then you look at the attendance from this past weekend, especially Saturday or Sunday, I guess, and it was really bad. So,
yeah, I mean, you would have to think if Cup was there, you know, that would obviously draw and pull in some more sales at the gate. I mean, do you know off the top of your head? I don't what the capacity is at Iowa.
I'm not sure, but I mean, was talking to one of my colleagues earlier this week, and he was saying that when the Iowans, when they got that track, they were promised a cup day, but I don't believe that's true.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that they would have made that type of a guarantee. My thing is, all right, even if I would rather know that I couldn't get into a race because it was sold out than not have a sold out race. Like, I think it would make the track look bigger and a hot ticket if they had to turn people away. You know, let's not worry about whether or not, we don't have enough seating for a cup race. We know we can outsell that. Well, last I checked, we haven't sold out a race in a real long time. You know, Michigan, you know, they used to seat 150,000 people. They're down to 75 and barely draw 40 for a cup weekend.
Yeah.
You know, if we know we can pull 30 or 40 and Iowa holds 30 to 40, how cool would it be to show a sold out stand versus an empty stand that people want to complain about, you know?
Right. Yeah, I mean, like Watkins Glen, they do a pretty good job every year, and they've actually been sold out the past, I want to say, 3 years. And it looked like, according to ticket sales this year, that they're on pace to do 4 in a row.
Excellent.
Or whatever it is.
That's awesome.
But, and they have a lot of infield camping, too. But, yeah, that would be cool with Iowa. And, I mean, I think the racing there with the worn tires and the lines that you can run, like, there's times in the truck and Xfinity race this weekend where they're 3 and 4 wide. So that's just good racing.
Absolutely. All right. So the trucks. Stage 1 winner, John Hunter Nemechek. Stage 2, Stuart Friesen. And winner, lap traffic alum, Brett Moffitt, brings home his second checkered flag. Dustin, when this race started off 3 wide, I knew we were in for good racing all weekend. What'd you think of the truck race specifically?
I actually like the truck race quite a bit. I thought they put on a hell of a show. I think a lot of times they are the best show of the weekend.
Absolutely.
In town. Man, Stuart Friesen, I'm really impressed with him this year. I know he's got the GMS Alliance, but he's making that stuff work because he's, I think, 4th in points now.
Yep.
And overall, there's just a lot of good racing, a lot of side-by-side, like I mentioned. And I don't know about you, but, man, I just love the racing at Iowa.
I loved the racing this weekend. You know, the mere fact we were talking about slide jobs at a short track, I mean, yeah. What else do you want? You know, I felt bad for guys like Crafton. In my opinion, this was the first race that Crafton actually showed some speed for the first time all season. Finished 2nd in stage 1, got caught up in that late wreck, and he had some choice words for everybody out there with that one. John Hunter, you know, he won stage 1, finished 2nd stage 2. They haven't really been able to show much this season. They've gotten caught up in some bad wrecks and had some bad finishes. So those two guys, I thought they were on for a breakout race, and it was unfortunate that they got caught up in that wreck.
Yeah, I mean, it was what, the left front tire got cut down of Crafton's car,
yep,
truck.
Yep.
With the contact with Stuart Friesen.
Yep.
And then, yeah, they just went four wide in that corner, and Crafton's tire blew, and can't, all around they went.
Yeah. and then, like you mentioned, the racing there, if you couldn't get excited and weren't on the edge of your seat with that last few laps there, Gregson picking up speed on Moffitt, who was definitely slowing down. If that race had been three more laps in length, Moffitt's not winning that thing. He was definitely backpedaling there, and Gregson was picking up speed. Makes the last lap pass. Does the Carl Edwards and slides up into the wall and loses it there, and Moffitt's able to regain and take home the checkered flag. That was an awesome finish. I brought my TV outside and I was literally yelling when that happened. So,
yeah, I mean, I was standing up too. I was excited. My mom was even watching it. So, yeah, that was a really good finish. Carl Edwards-esque, like you mentioned. You know, one of these times that's going to work.
It is.
And it's going to be dangerous when it works, because not everyone's going
to
be doing it.
Yeah, yeah, right? I'm with you. Over to the standings. Moffitt picks up his second win of the season, 5 playoff points, moving him up to 3rd in the standings and 2nd in the playoff points with 11, closing the gap to Johnny Sauter there. If you were to tell me that Brett Moffitt was going to be 2nd in playoff points midway through the season in the truck standings, I'm not going to say I would have laughed at you, but I would have maybe turned my head and been like, what? So I think that's awesome. You know, Brett Moffitt had ran some limited cup schedule there a few years back, and to be shining here in the trucks, I think that's incredible.
Yeah, it is incredible, especially with the team that he's on. They only have, I don't know, less than 10 employees probably.
Yeah.
And they have very limited sponsorship, so much so that they didn't even know they were going to be at Texas last weekend.
Yep.
So, yeah, they're definitely overachieving with the equipment they have. But, man, Johnny Sauter is kind of in a league of his own, though, in the truck series.
Absolutely. He's Harvick-esque. If you look at the points, Harvick's got, what, 25 points in 15 races, and Sauter's got 22 in 9 races. Granted, maybe the caliber of competition is maybe a little bit more challenging, but when you look at it from a numbers standpoint, he's done a lot more.
Yeah, and he's got 4 wins. His overall points lead right now is 71. So
yeah,
I think the truck series, that's 10 playoff points.
Yep.
So he's, I mean, I'll say right now, he's assured himself a spot at Homestead.
He would have to have I couldn't picture what would need to happen for him not to be in the Final Four at Homestead.
He's got 34, I believe, straight stage. You know, he's finishing the top 10 in 34 straight stages.
Yeah. No, he is. He's driving out of his mind. They got that team is dialed in, you know, and I think at the beginning of the season, we would have, you know, been talking or expected to be talking about Sauter and Crafton. And yeah. I've mentioned it quite a few times on the show over the last few weeks. I think the manufacturer change impacted them a little bit more than maybe they expected and are still trying to get adjusted there a little bit.
Yeah, because you look at, I mean, they have 3 teams right now in the playoffs, then Finger, Crafton, and Rhodes.
Yep.
Snyder just outside, but yeah, for sure, even Ben Rhodes, like he led a bunch of laps in Martinsville, but other than that, he hasn't been, he hasn't been able to really win a race.
Yeah, no, I'm with you there. And Sauter, just with the sheer fact he's got the field covered almost by half in playoff points. I mean, that speaks volumes to 1, his talent, and 2, the domination that he's got for the season.
Yeah, I second that. It's, what are we, how many races have they had?
Let's see, 9?
Yeah, 9. So they've got, what, 7 left in the regular season?
Yep.
Man.
Yep, I know.
I bet he wins at least 3 more before the regular season's over.
I wouldn't be surprised at all. All right, the trucks are back this week on Saturday, June 23rd, from Gateway Motorsports Park for a little night racing. You ever been there?
Haven't been there.
No.
But put on some good racing a couple years ago. Had a little brawl with John Lestonley and Spencer
Gallagher. I remember that. Yes, yes.
But yeah, there should be some good racing this weekend as well.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it.
John Hunter Nemechek won there last year.
Yep.
And he should He should be racing it this weekend.
I do believe. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. That'd be nice.
He could be a front runner to get that victory, a second win of the year.
Absolutely. All right, over to the Xfinity Series. It was the Justin Allgaier show. Allgaier winning stage one, stage two, and the race. Dustin holding true to the trucks. Every restart went three wide. I'm not one that likes phantom debris cautions or anything like that, but I selfishly would have liked to have seen a few more cautions just because those restarts were awesome for the Xfinity race.
They were awesome, but I thought the race in general was awesome. Like you mentioned, Allgaier swept the stages, led a career high 182 laps. But the last stage, him and Christopher Bell couldn't get away from each other.
Oh, my God. See, and that's what I think made that awesome is, you know, you didn't have a 10-second lead from first to second or anything like that. Yeah, Allgaier dominated the race, but he had competition, which made that exciting to watch that.
Yeah, he worked for it, and Bell even got by him a couple times. He didn't clear him, but he led two laps, and they were both, you know, when they were side by side, whether it was in traffic or whatnot. But Allgaier, man, he just had himself a hot rod on Sunday, and
yep.
I mean, he made up for Dover, and he got himself 7 playoff points.
Absolutely. So right now
he went from having 1 playoff points to now he's leading the series with 8.
Yeah, no, that's which is crazy. Like you mentioned, you could really only make a 3-quarter pass on him. You could get him in going into 3, but you are not passing him coming out of 4.
Yeah, that car was dominant, and Bell was really the only car that could keep up. I mean, Austin Cindric was quick early on, but of course he won the pole, leading 58 laps.
Yep.
But once Allgaier, right towards the end of stage one, his car just took off. And really, he led 182 with the final, I don't know, 200 laps or so.
It was right up there, that's for sure. Something I always look at when the Cup guys aren't there, who is able to take advantage of a top 5 or top 10 that they might not have been able to. A couple guys that stick out to me, Brandon Jones finished 5th in the Xfinity race. Ty Majeski gets a 7th place finish. And Kaz Grala gets a 10th place finish. If the 3 or 4 Cup guys are there, those guys don't get those finishes perhaps. So I think that's awesome that they were able to take advantage of that.
Yeah. Excuse me. Brandon Jones this year has been like a resurgence.
Yes.
I talked to him at Daytona and he told me that halfway through this year, which we're approaching, he was going to kind of hit a reset button and see where he's at. So, I mean, right now, I don't have the points in front of me, but he's up there in points, and he should have won probably Bristol. I think he led 106 laps there.
Yep. He's sitting 7th in point standings with 1 playoff point, which, to be fair, you can't scoff at 1 playoff point in the Xfinity standings because they're so far and few between. You know, there's not many that have been earned. So, 1 playoff point, 2 playoff points, that's going to carry. And, you know, there's... Yeah. That's what I like about the Xfinity in that regard is, hey, you're not going to get that cushion and know, hey, you can have a bad race in the playoffs in the Xfinity series because you don't have that safety net because there's just not that many playoff points that have been earned.
Yeah, if you recall last year, it was at Charlotte. It was a cutoff race, and Brendan Gaughan and Ryan Reed, I don't know if they were tied or if Reed had 1 point up, but Reed ended up advancing by the narrow of margins and had – Gong just passed him on the track because they finished, I don't know, 10th or 11th in the race, right back-to-back. Had Gong got by, he would have been in to the next round and read. So, one playoff point definitely could make a difference.
Absolutely. One guy that we've both talked to very recently, Mr. Cole Custer, he keeps racking up these top fives. He's definitely pulled up to points leader Elliott Sadler, only 4 back, but we have yet to see him in victory lane in 2018.
I think it's coming, though. He was on the podcast last week, and I picked him for this past weekend at Iowa. And I think he's got 4 straight top fives.
Yep.
Like you said, he's only 4 points back now. Elliott Sadler's had a bit of a trouble the past 2 weeks at Iowa and Michigan. But I think a win is in Cole Custer's near future.
I would like to see that.
I mean, and these are a variety of tracks, too, right? I consider it a short track. Some people don't. Pocono's a triangle. Michigan's a 2-mile track. And then you got Charlotte, which is 1.5 miles. So a variety of racetracks that he's doing well on. Daniel Hemric, too. He's got, I think, 3-4 top threes in the last 6 races. One runner-up and 3 third-place finishes. And then I liked how you hit on Ty Majeski earlier as well. Man, that 60 team, they needed that run.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Going into that race, they were 30th in owner's points, which is just ridiculous being, you know, a Roush team, even though they have – three, essentially three rookies racing in that car this year. But 30th in points, I mean, that's below some of the lower tier teams in the Xfinity Series that race full time.
Absolutely. I'm losing my train of thought here. Oh, Daniel Hemric, you mentioned. RCR, struggling cup side. But maybe focusing, maybe like the Tiger should be doing with the bullpen, or not the bullpen, the farm system. You know, maybe they're working on building and rebuilding their cup team, perhaps, because they're bringing some strong cars to the track for the Xfinity Series.
Yeah, we've seen this before, too. I mean, before last year, Richard Childress Racing has never gone winless in a season.
Yep.
And then they Austin Dillon at Michigan, ironically, a couple weeks ago, obviously broke that winless streak. But yeah, if you're going to consider it a farm system, then we can. But it's definitely, you know, contributing a lot of younger talent, like even Shane Lee coming up now,
who's put some phenomenal races together. Was it? His first Xfinity ride was at Bristol, or that was either his first or second race, and went out there, held his own. I think he was running top 10. He might have finished 12th or something like that. But to go out at such an early age with such little experience and run at Bristol like you did in the Xfinity Series, that's incredible.
Yeah, and then even Matt Tift, who I think he's, what, 8th or 9th in points right now.
Yep.
He's 9th in points.
Yep.
But he's put a lot of good performances together, too. At Charlotte, he had the whole nose caved in, but still, I think, got a top 10 out of it. So.
Yeah.
They definitely have some quick cars, and they've definitely turned the corner as an organization, at least on the Xfinity side.
Absolutely. All right. So we've talked about the standings a little bit already. Sadler, his points margin is definitely dwindling. Mr. Consistency, as I like to call him, has had two back-to-back weeks that are very uncharacteristic for him, finishing 11 laps down this weekend, and we all saw what happened last weekend at MIS with Bowman. You know, this team has yet to put a win together in almost a season and a half. You know, they almost won the championship without winning at all. Do you think that's feasible to win a championship on consistency alone?
Well, he showed last year that
you could.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely can do it. I just with the playoff system the way it's at right now, even though it does put more of an emphasis on winning, except for the final race.
Right.
I mean, you could, because none of those playoff points transfer over. So, yeah, you could have honestly four guys that haven't won all year going into Homestead.
Sure.
They're consistent as the playoffs. Yeah. That likely won't happen.
Right. Yeah.
I'll give it like a 1% shot.
Right. But, yeah, he. Yes. You know, Elliott needs to pick up the game. They need a win. You know, I think that solidifies your season with a win at least.
Allgaier has proven that they have the equipment. He's leading a ton of laps this year. He's leading the series in laps led. And then even Tyler Reddick, which was a heartbreaker, honestly, for Sadler, ironically enough, at Daytona in the closest finish ever in NASCAR history.
Yep.
And then Michael Knott, I talked to Michael Knott at Pocono, and I don't know, they're definitely underperforming, and he admitted it. So,
sure.
Yeah, it's definitely it's weird how Junior Motorsports is kind of running right now, because they're all in the top, well, three of them are in the top six in points.
Yep.
Sadler's led the points in all but one race this year, which was Daytona, and he was second. So, yeah, I think Sadler needs to win, because Allgaier has proven that you can win in that equipment.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, the Xfinity Series has next week off, and we'll be back the following weekend, Saturday, June 30th, from Chicagoland Speedway. Dustin, we didn't have a cup race, but what do you say? We hit on it for a minute. What's your take so far on the cup season?
Well, a lot of the same folks are winning every week, which is, I don't know, it's not a bad thing. Parity is a good thing as well, but out of the last 25 races dating back to the beginning of the playoffs, Martin Truex Jr., Kevin Harvick, and Kyle Busch have won 19 of them.
Yeah.
So that's 76% of the races. Essentially, three out of every four, they're winning.
That's crazy.
It's also cool, because it might suck for some people to watch, but you don't see this domination from three guys necessarily. It's usually one, two, and they just go on these hot streaks. You know, Jimmy Johnson did it for years.
Right.
But he didn't really have a foe that could challenge with him consistently. And
then
these guys are proving it for really the past, I would say, 3 years, that they're probably the top drivers right now, or top teams in NASCAR.
Sure. No, absolutely. You know, before Michigan, it was supposedly a three-dog race. Clint Bowyer picks up his second win of the season. Is it fair to say it could potentially be a four-dog race, four-horse race?
Yeah, and honestly, his numbers compared to Truex this year are very similar.
Yeah.
They both got a pair of wins. I was watching Race Hub before we came on. They both got a pair of wins. They both led 308 laps. Their average finish is pretty close. And they're fifth and sixth in points.
Yep.
So yeah, I mean, Bowyer doesn't have the stage wins that Truex has, but he comes on late in the race.
And yeah.
I mean, I'll tell you right now, I think Boyer's going to win this weekend at Sonoma.
Ooh, I like that call. I like that. Speaking of Clint, I wonder how much extra celebrating he did winning going into an off weekend. I can only imagine the party that guy threw for an entire week.
Yeah, he's done that the last two off weekends now because he won at Martinsville.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Oh.
So in the press conference at Michigan, Mike Bogorevich, his crew chief, was saying how, man, this off week thing, and when they keep winning on off weeks, they're liking it because the next one's Indy, then the last one's Homestead.
Hey, so there you go. I like where their thought process is with that. All right, we go road course racing. First road course of the season this Sunday at Sonoma. I am excited about that. Road course racing has definitely, I think, perked up in fans' excitement level over the last 5 years or so. Fans maybe getting a little bored with the mile and a half, 2 mile tracks, and getting more excited about the road course racing. I know I am grown as a fan and look forward to these two each season on the schedule.
Yeah, I've always loved road course racing. I think it's some of the best entertaining racing of the year. I'm kind of biased.
I was going to say, you're a little biased since you're right by Watkins Glen, but that's
right,
okay.
I've been going since 2000 when I was 4 years old, but I mean, just the history of it, like Watkins Glen since the 1940s, and they used to race around the streets of Watkins Glen, and then Sonoma, it's in Napa Valley, so who doesn't want to be there?
Sure.
But it's always, I think it always puts on really good racing and a lot of fuel mileage racing. We saw that at Sonoma a few years ago, Watkins Glen this past year, so I'm really interested in what the Roval does.
I am curious to see that. That'll be interesting.
And the end of September. So, yeah, that should be cool. But yeah, I'm really excited. And like I said, I think Clint Bowyer will probably win this weekend.
That would definitely put him in the mix. If there was doubt, a win this weekend would definitely change any doubt.
For people that don't want to see, you know, the three-headed monster of Truex, Harvick, and Kyle Busch to win, well, they've won three of the past five races there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, here, yeah, yep.
And Bowyer, you could add Bowyer to that too in 2012.
Yep. All right, Dustin, this has been a lot of fun. Why don't you tell everyone where they can follow you and all that you're doing?
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Going forward, you can follow me at Dustin Albino on Twitter. I'm sure you'll probably tag me in.
Absolutely.
Tweet that you have going out there, which I appreciate. But yeah, going forward, I'll be at a few races coming up. I don't think I'll be at one until Loudon, but then we got three in a row that I'll be at. And then I'm hopefully moving to Charlotte here with a colleague soon and, you know, pursuing this even further as a career. So, you know, we'll see how it plays out. But I have a weekly Xfinity column this week. Who's it with this week? Christopher Bell. I talked to him at Michigan. And
awesome.
That was a fun show. And we got Kaz Grawl on the podcast this week. So, yeah, I mean, a lot of fun stuff going on at Front Stretch right now. It's a good time.
Excellent, excellent. Well, thanks again. Everyone, make sure you go follow Dustin. And thanks for coming on, and let's do it again soon.
That sounds good to me. Thank you.
Thanks. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, that was a fun interview. Hope you guys enjoyed that with Dustin. Hopefully we can get him back on somewhere down the line, and go make sure you check out Front Stretch. All right, over to some social media. Everyone, make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, at Lap Traffic PC. Make sure you subscribe, auto-download, leave some comments on iTunes, Blueberry, Acast, Spreaker, Stitcher, Google Play, you name it, it's out there. Still doing a giveaway. I am about 75 followers away from 3,000. And when I hit that 3,000 mark, giving away a MIS Firekeepers Casino prize pack, Firekeepers Casino hat, t-shirt, 8x10 autograph of Clint Bowyer, some Lap Traffic goodies thrown in there as well. So make sure you retweet. Thank you to everybody that does retweet and helps try to spread word. I love it. That's how this show gets out there to everybody, is by you guys telling your friends, either verbally or through Twitter and all that good stuff. So thank you very much. Over to some new follower shout outs. CJ Wolliver at CJ Wolliver, social media producer from NASCAR on Fox, giving the Lap Traffic a follow. Thank you very much. Peter Strada at Peter Strada, NASCAR editor from at T101 Sports, giving the show a follow. Thank you. Janice at Jen Eric 2002 from my hometown state of Michigan, and a big Kurt Busch and Allgaier fan. Bruce at Bruce Doe Den from Minnesota, and a Harvick fan. Michelle at ST14RN39 from California, and still a big Tony Stewart fan. Karen at Karen for Harvick from California, and I think she might be a Harvick fan. Not sure. It might be a stretch here. Alice Dobbs at Mad Ann Flint from New Jersey, and pulling for the M&Ms of Mr. Kyle Busch. And Jeanette at Netter48 from Canada, pulling for HMSA. Thanks for the follow, guys. Hope you like the show. Tell your friends, and they might get a new follower shout out too. Don't forget the website. Get yourself a Lap Traffic t-shirt, hoodie, travel mug, you name it, it's out there. And stickers and koozies are ready if you want some. Go to the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com, fill out the contact page, and I will get one out to you. And I want to give a quick shout out on Facebook, Custom Diecast Displays. Search that on Facebook. I've got three, you know. That one particular diecast that you just want to recreate Victory Lane, this guy does an awesome job building custom displays for your favorite diecasts. I've just got mine from Eldora with my Matt Crafton truck. I've got one from Kyle Larson at MIS, and he also did a start-finish line from MIS. I tweeted out a picture of that. This guy does incredible work. The detail is amazing. He's got a ton of pictures posted of all the stuff he's done. He does them himself, makes them custom for you. So go check out Custom Diecast Displays on Facebook. If you can't find it, shoot me a message. If you want one, I'll get you in contact with him. Or if you want to see a picture of mine, I will be happy to send that to you. Real quick, some silly season news, if you will. Truck schedule 2019. I am super excited about this because the regular season for the trucks now ends at MIS. MIS next year is the cutoff race for the playoffs for the truck race, and I am super stoked about that. All right, I think it's time for some weather. Let's see what we got going on this weekend when we get to Wine Country. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, back as always each and every week for the weekly weather report. You can follow him on Twitter at RaceWeather, and make sure you check out the website raceweather.net. Mr. Aaron Studwell, sir, good evening.
Good evening, sir. How are you?
I am excellent. Welcome back. How's life? How's things?
Life is good. Wife is good. Things are good.
Happy Father's Day, belated. Saw some pictures posted from you on the social media over the weekend. So it looks like you guys had a good one.
Yeah, we actually did. Very nice time. Honestly, for me and for him, well, for him to come back and say, you know what, that was a really fun weekend. Thank you.
Nice.
Exactly. That's the little things that you go and you say, yeah, that's pretty good. I did pretty good. But honestly, we woke up, we watched soccer together, we watched the racing together, went to dinner and just chilled and hung out and were. And you know what? Just love that time.
Excellent.
Love watching him.
Fantastic.
He's a very, very respectful young man, going to be an Aggie.
Nothing more you can ask for there, other than to be a Michigan man, but
you're
that's
right.
Okay.
Hey, would have loved that.
All right, let's talk Iowa here real quick. Spot on with the weather forecast from last week on the show. It was hot.
Yeah, that's probably that and the next one's going to be probably two of the simpler forecasts we're going to have this season. Yeah, it was nice weekend for racing, and no delays, no issues, and
week late on that,
yeah,
one there,
go out
sir.
And enjoy
week
it.
Late.
Yeah. Well, we have another chance. You'll be back.
True.
I think
it's true.
Pretty close to my birthday weekend.
Yeah,
in August.
August, I want to say 14th, 11th. Those two numbers are ringing a bell somewhere around there. So, yes. Yeah, you get another crack at it here in a couple weeks.
Hopefully it'll be a little bit quieter.
Well, Sherwin's not going to be there, so it should be fine. So.
He said it, not me. He said it.
I'm going to get crap for that one. Well, and the funny thing is I'm going to Darlington with them. So I really hope I don't bring rain with me, because then that's just going to start a whole new can of worms. So.
No, they just bring it with them. There's nothing on you.
That's true. Yes. All right. So this week we head to Illinois for the trucks, and we head to wine country. What are we looking forward to this weekend?
I'm going to start with the easy one. That's wine country.
Okay.
It's going to be a little bit warmer than normal on Friday. High of 86. Normal's right around 80. And then 92 on Saturday for the high. Breezy, which is typical. Sunny skies, which is very nicely typical.
Excellent. And Sunday?
And then for Sunday back in like the low to mid 80s.
Cool.
Pretty good.
Excellent. Excellent. All right. Now, sounds like maybe there's a little trickier one on Saturday.
Yeah. Going to Gateway.
Yep.
Which is a great track, as long as the wind's blowing in the right direction. And I'm not sure you've heard that before.
I have not heard that one before. No, that's a new one.
It is right next to a landfill.
Oh, that could be bad.
And if it gets hot,
oh,
and the wind's blowing in the wrong direction, it's not pleasant. It's a great place to see a race.
Sounds like poor planning on someone's part there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that point is cheap land. I mean,
right.
And they've got a great spot. So, yeah, Friday doesn't look great. We have a chance of rain pretty much all day with showers and thunderstorms embedded.
Okay.
But we get around to Saturday night, skies will clear, chance of rain drops off, highs mid-80s. So with that sun coming back out, we may see some remnant showers and thunderstorms, but I'm feeling pretty optimistic about racing on Saturday night.
Excellent.
But yeah, Friday's activities may be hit or miss, spotty.
Okay. Well, hey, as long as we go racing, that's all that matters. So.
No, it's shooting up there maybe five years ago now. It's a great place to see a race. If anybody can get out there, I'd recommend that.
Excellent. Excellent. Alrighty, well, Traffic Nation, there you have it, the weather for this weekend. As always, big thanks to Aaron for coming on the show, and we will talk to you next week, sir.
Sounds good. I'll be here.
All right, we'll talk to you. All right, always love talking to Mr. Aaron Studwell there. Looking forward to talking to him next week, as always. All right, it is time for everyone's favorite segment of the show. It's time for some lucky dogs. All right, don't forget, tweet me your lucky dog and lap down picks after the race, or you can call into the Wave Around hotline at 248-965-9538 anytime and leave your lucky dog and lap down picks, and I will play them back as I always do. All right, let's get to my picks. My lucky dog of the race has to be Brett Moffitt, making a statement, putting Johnny Sauter on notice, and letting the truck field know that he is here and he is taking this seriously. As you heard Dustin and I talk a little bit ago, team is definitely a little short on funding, so definitely, hopefully, those guys are able to piece things together for the rest of the season because they have put together some great, great wins. My lap down is Mr. Consistency in the Xfinity Series, Mr. Elliott Sadler. Was not expecting that type of a week to follow up a bad week at MIS. So I bet he's happy they've got an off week. Go regroup, have a little huddle maybe, and get back next week at Chicagoland. All right, let's get to your tweeted responses. Tim at TTrip14's lucky dog is Kaz Grala with his top 10 and hopes the team is able to put more races together. Lap down Noah Gregson going for the win with a slide job and gets into the wall. Kurt at Kurt Bustle's lucky dog is Allgaier's dominating win. Lap down, cup drivers missing out on taking superior equipment to the lower series to make them look better. I like that one. Mick at GoDucks42_Mix lucky dog. Brett Moffitt getting it done. I'm with you. Mick's lap down is his lap traffic fantasy team. I'm not as bad as I was, so I'm not feeling you on that one. But I know the struggle. The struggle is real in lap traffic fantasy. That's all I got to say. Scott at 1985, Wagner's Lucky Dog TV viewers got to listen to different voices say the same things they always say on Sunday for once. Lap down Sadler string of bad luck. Absolutely. Jeff at Gray Wolfpack 5's Lucky Dog Noah Gregson for doing the Carl Edwards maneuver for the win. Luckily, he was still able to finish P2, but was mere feet away from stealing one. Lap down is Jeff, because he completely missed the Xfinity race. I'm with you. I would have hate to have missed that, too. All right, let's get to the message on the Wave Around hotline.
Hey, Brandon, what's up, man? It's Andrew. Twitter handle. At Can't See It. Y'all know where to find me by now. Yeah, man, Iowa this weekend. So, you know, everyone wants the Cup Series to go there, but if you look at the crowds, there was nobody there. So that's kind of a problem if you actually want a Cup race there. So there's my lap down. People got to support the track in the lower series before we get a Cup date. But that's just me. Lucky Dog? I don't know. That was a pretty good battle between Moffitt and Noah Gregson. So I got to go with that. Some fun stuff, man. So yeah, talk to you later, bud.
Andrew, I love when you call, brother. Thank you so much. So Andrew brought up a good point to kind of piggyback off what Dustin and I were talking about earlier with the Xfinity Series and the Truck Series at Iowa. Should there not be a Cup race there? I think Cup would draw in terms of maybe filling out a place like Iowa. But Andrew made a great point in that, you know, you can't just get handed the Cup race. You got to earn it. And by earning it, you definitely got to show up to it. So, you know, I don't know if the weather played a role. It was ungodly hot out there from what it sounded like with everyone talking about. So weather could have played a small factor. But yeah, you know, if you want a Cup Series, you definitely got to show up for the other series to show that you're serious about it. So excellent point there by Mr. Andrew Cancian. All right, we got one more message on the Wave Around hotline.
Hey, Brandon, this is John Warrington. I am at Racing_64. We had a great race this weekend. Justin Allgaier and Brett Moffitt, both my drivers, picked up the win at my track here in Iowa. It was great. Overall, racing was awesome. You see Allgaier leads 2/3 of the race. You think he dominated, but he didn't really. Christopher Bell was probably the best car out there. He just could never get things to go his way. But luckily, Allgaier held him off. Lucky dogs, I got to go with Justin Allgaier getting the win. Brett Moffitt getting the win. It was a pretty exciting weekend down here. And as for lap down, I've got to go with the 4 o'clock start time on a Sunday afternoon local time. For trying to build the attendance up at that track, having such a late start for people to come. We didn't get home till 10:30 that night when usually it's a 1 o'clock start and we're home by 7. So other than that, we'll see what next weekend brings.
Hey, John, thank you so much for calling in. That's awesome that you were able to be there this weekend at Iowa. Glad you had a great time. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for your picks. Lap Traffic Nation, it's that simple. 248-965-9538. The Wave Around Hotline. Be a part of the show. I'll play your message back. And I am still in the early planning stages of trying to do a extra show. Maybe once a month, something like that. Just a call-in show. Nothing specific to talk about. The topic will be NASCAR, whatever you want to talk about. So actually, if you guys want to tweet me at LapTrafficPC, let me know. Would you call in if there was a guaranteed set date and time that phone calls would be taken for a call-in show just to talk about whatever you guys want? Would you be interested in that? Let me know, and I'll also send a tweet out about that as well. So let me know if you guys would be interested in that. All right, that is the Lucky Dogs of the weekend. It is time to talk some fantasy. Just a reminder, get your picks in by 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on Friday. Keep the Twitter interaction up. Mike and the rest of the DraftKings world handed me another beating this week on DraftKings. I should have taken the week off like the Cup guys. DraftKings was not pretty this week. Week three of segment two, week high, went to those who picked Sauter and Allgaier and racked up 101 points. Nice job to Chad Robb and Matt Fossum for doing that. And my man, Andrew Cansey, and only one to pick Brett Moffitt in the Truck Series. Nice job there. And five players took Allgaier in the Xfinity race. Weatherman Aaron Studwell, Chad Robb, John Warrington, Matt Fossum, and Mick Rowe. So nice job there, guys. Over to the top 10 in standings. It's still close. It is anybody's game for sure in segment two. Chad Robb is in the lead with 322. Jeff Legg is in second with 302. Tim Triplett is in third with 292. Matt Fossum is in fourth with 288. Chris Lowther wraps up the top five with 284. Aaron Lamp is in sixth with 277. Robert Keflinger is in seventh with 275. Tommy Witt is in eighth with 269. Jeff Hess is in ninth with 266. And we got a four-way tie for 10th with 265 with Aaron Studwell, Jeff Mackin, Rika Porter, and Stuart Cribb. So that is the top 10. Over to the cumulative standings, Chloe Yunker still kicking ass and taking names with 1,667. Tommy Witt starting to close the gap, 1,615 in second. John Entwistle is in third with 1,601. Chad Robb moving up to fourth with 1,528. And Jeff Hess reps out the top five cumulative standings with 1,522. My picks for Iowa, well, I tried to think outside the box with Justin Haley. That didn't work out too well for me. I think he got a 17th place finish. Cole Custer got me a 4th place finish in the Xfinity race, but I'm hanging in there 13. I'm almost cracking the top 10, which is more than the MOATF podcast can say. Ha, ha. Hey, by the way, make sure you're following at MOATF Podcast. They just redid their logo, which is awesome. Make sure you're checking those guys out across the pond. All right, it's time for the picks. All right, we head to our first road course of 2018. We head to Wine Country and Sonoma this weekend. Road course racing has picked up in popularity over the last few years and is right up there with short track racing, so I am excited for this one. Kevin Harvick won this race last year and is coming off a second place at MIS. Does he go back-to-back at Sonoma? What about Denny Hamlin? He is still looking for his first win in 2018 and almost won this race in 2016 until that famous last lap pass by Tony Stewart. Could he see victory lane this weekend? What about Clint Bowyer? Can he carry the momentum through the off week to Sonoma and go back-to-back? He finished second to Kevin Harvick here last year. Gone are the days of the road course ringers, but what about a guy like AJ Allmendinger? Could he get an upset win? It will be exciting to watch this weekend. Let's get to the picks. My truck pick, I'm going with the 41 of Ben Rhodes to take advantage of a cupless field at Motorsports Park to get it done. Thinking outside the box again for trucks this week. No Xfinity race. Over to the Cup. I'm going with the 41 again of Kurt Busch. He becomes the third different driver to get a win for Stuart Haas Racing this weekend. I'm picking the 41 for both races. Two different drivers, same number. Who knows? Maybe I'll get lucky and move up into the top 10 in the standings this week. Don't forget to submit your picks. And as always, they are due by 5 o'clock on Friday. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, that is a wrap for 74 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. It was a blast. Can't wait. Number 75 next week. Make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, at Lap Traffic PC. And I'm only 75 followers away from giving away this awesome Lap Traffic prize pack. Huge thanks to Dustin Albino from the Front Stretch for coming in today. And I am working on a guest next week that is huge. They told me I could pencil him in. I will tweet it out when it becomes available. But it is the biggest guest on the show to date. So stay tuned to that. And thanks to Eric Zalen for joining me in the NASCAR Man Cave today. Don't get caught chasing the lucky dog. Make sure you tune in each and every week to the Lap Traffic Podcast. See ya!